You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's 7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you are listening in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap or in Wausau on WXCO or right here in Madison on WMDX, we are certainly glad that you are spending your Friday with us. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. I love that riff from Ricky, Don't Lose That Number.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Nice job. We only have one boy in the aquarium today.
Me too.
Parker loves it when he's alone in there because he can move around. He does his Pilates. He does a little Tai Chi.
A lot of Tai Chi.
It's good. Yeah,
I have to center my core. Yes.
He waits.
Hey, you know what I'm excited about? The fact that this weekend it's supposed to be in the 20s. That's going to feel downright tropical.
Well, Sean Cable was appropriately happy today.
He was.
Sean Cable, very excited. Frank and I are under a severe lake effect storm snow warning
where
there's chances in some areas to get 10 to 12 inches of snow. So,
I'm sorry. We won't. Thank you. Thank you, Boy Aquarium. We won't rub it in too much, but 20s, that's going to seem downright warm.
Nice.
There's going to be somebody in shorts this weekend. Somebody's going to be running around in shorts this weekend with no coat. You know
it. Those college kids they're running up and down State Street and they're scantily clad in the middle of winter.
They
good
for
them. That's what you're supposed to do when you're in college.
Exactly.
Be goofy. because, that's what youth is for. Have some fun. Enjoy yourself. Unfortunately, for some youths that break the law, they get sent to centers or jails or prisons or whatever you want to call them, youth camps. And that's been a big thing. If you've been paying attention over the last few years, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake have been the focus of a lot of debate in the state. Well, Governor Evers, in his final term, is making some changes, and he stepped forward yesterday and celebrated because there was a court decision regarding those two facilities, and a federal judge has ended court oversight after Wisconsin met all the required reforms, which is good news, but that is not the end of the story.
It is not. This ruling actually follows multiple positive compliance reports confirming the Department of Corrections has satisfied all 50 conditions of this longstanding consent decree. And obviously, the scandal over Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake has been in the news off and on over the last few years. And Governor Evers actually says that this decision marks a major milestone after all of those years of work to reform the state's juvenile justice system. The reforms included limits on the use of force, improved staffing levels, expanded training, and greater access to education, healthcare, and some of the basic services for youth in those facilities. The ACLU, which filed the original lawsuit, did not oppose ending the oversight.
That's good.
Yes, it is. And state officials say that ending this federal supervision is a key step towards closing Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake as youth facilities and transitioning young people into smaller regional centers closer to their home communities. Now, a new juvenile facility in Milwaukee is expected to open later this year, and another is planned for Dane County as well. Leaders are emphasizing right now that while the consent decree has ended, the state's responsibility to maintain safe, humane, and rehabilitative conditions for youth will continue, especially under Governor Evers, at least for the next few months, he comes to the end of another term. So,
I'm glad that Wisconsin has met its obligation of the dissent decree, because the allegations that led to this consent decree were abominable.
Yes.
And I do believe that there should be accountability and sometimes punishment for crimes. I'm not naive enough to believe that, it's the system. There's a lot of reasons that youths and adults commit crimes. That is a bigger conversation. It's going to take a lot more work than a lot of people are willing to put in and a lot of money to run these programs. That being said, if you do break the law, you are responsible. Now, I also don't believe that I don't believe adults should be tortured when they're in jail.
Right.
I definitely don't think children should be tortured when they're in jail. And yes, if you're under 18 or if you're in a juvenile facility, you are still a child legally and legally, mentally, emotionally, all of that. And so I think moving to smaller regional places, closer to where maybe if you have family members, if you have friends, somebody who can visit you and make and keep you connected to the outside world, unless those people are a bad influence, and then, you know, but they don't have, you don't have to see them. But we got to look at, we have to look at everything differently.
Yeah.
This old stockpiling of kids for the juvenile justice system, it's not working.
No.
And the recidivism rate is high. So, okay, we have to punish them. How can we punish them and incarcerate them effectively? Because if you go into this facility at 14 and you're getting out when you're 18, you got a whole life ahead of you, literally.
Right.
So what are we doing to prepare them for that life?
Exactly. And if you remember this case, this goes all the way back to a 2017 lawsuit that was brought after a 2015 raid exposed widespread abuse, unsafe conditions. We know that several adults that were incarcerated in either Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake eventually came forward with eyewitness testimony and their experience as to what happened, to which then investigators found that excessive force had been used, pepper spray was used, there was prolonged isolation, there was restraint misuse, and there was failures to address sexual abuse. So youth suffered these serious injuries, and the state had to pay over $25 million in settlements and legal costs. And then in 2019, Wisconsin was actually only compliant with only one of 50 court-ordered reforms.
That is not a good ratio.
No.
And that's the kind of thing, when you see these dissent decrees all over the country, whether it's with jails, prisons, police departments, and that's where we hear a lot of, mostly about these consent decrees, is police departments. You gotta toe the line. Once you're locked into that, it's on you. So one in 50 was horrible, but now, in the last 7 years, Wisconsin has turned it around. So we gotta give credit where credit's due.
Interesting. Isn't that when Tony Evers came into became governor?
Must everything be along party lines? Does everything, do we always have,
pointing out a fact.
I did not say you were wrong.
I believe
facts.
Things align. It's fine.
Does causation lead to results? Is that what we're going for?
Perhaps.
Yes.
It does.
It does all kind of line up that way.
It does.
And good. So now we'll see. We'll see what the governor can get through with his juvenile justice reforms in his last term. He's got a little time left, so
he does.
We'll see what he can do.
And he's actually been very busy over the last few days, because not only did we get this news, it actually comes on the heels of the governor proposing $1.3 billion in property tax relief, as a lot of homeowners all across the state are dealing with really high or steadily rising property taxes. Mm-hmm. And this proposal comes as residents are obviously getting ready to make their January tax payments. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be feeling that pain. Evers says that the plan would not reduce current bills, but would actually aim to freeze property taxes at their current levels starting next year. Now, he says that the goal of this is to give homeowners more predictability and prevent further increases. The plan would be funded through the state's budget surplus, with money sent to municipalities, counties, and school districts, really to help offset the costs that are typically passed on to property homeowners. School funding, obviously, in the state has been a major driver of higher property taxes. Many districts, I believe it's right around 241 different school referendums appeared on the ballot. Yes, that is correct. 241 school referendums appeared on the ballot in 2024 because, you know, you need these voter approved referendums to raise revenue. 169 of those, of those 241, by the way, were approved. Evers argued those referenda are contributing significantly to the rising property taxes. Republicans, however, disagree. They say that it's all because of the governor's partial veto expanding school funding authority far into the future that is to blame. And we've talked about that partial veto 400
here. 400 years. 400.
We have a neat law in this state that is very special to Wisconsin governors, where you can literally basically delete numbers out and combine
a
things.
Column,
yeah,
yes. A comma rather. It's very, very tricky. Jamie, if I could just point out, yesterday we used a term that seems at odds with this story. We actually said fiscally responsible Democrats yesterday.
We
based
did.
Based on some other Wisconsin budget items.
Yes.
But, and I think a lot of it had to do with this, too.
Right,
and
right.
Using the surplus, how we were going to use the surplus.
I mean, obviously, this is going to be a huge conversation among the Republicans and the Democrats. Now, if you joined this program yesterday, the Republicans would like to give families who have infants $1,000, aligning yes. with the President Trump's plan for helping families. And all of that money would come from the budget surplus. Now, Evers is proposing to use it differently to actually help homeowners.
And I made this point yesterday, and it fits in even more graphically here. There are a lot more homeowners in Wisconsin than there are infants who were born in a very narrow window that would be eligible for that extra money.
Right.
So, you know, yes, there will be debate. Yes, mm-hmm. there will be argument. Yes. We got to look at the surplus as not a never-ending, infinite pot, but a pot that we need to
right.
figure out where we can spend it responsibly and not get caught up in a infinite program
right.
that is going to deplete that surplus and then trouble.
If you have a surplus, I feel like estates at this current time, especially watching what's happening on the federal level, you have to be very responsible with your yes. money, right? It's like getting your, as a kid, you get grandma's Christmas money and, you could go spend it on some of the most frivolous, silliest things ever. But as, you know, as you're growing and you're learning, you're like, maybe I should really save that for the thing I want. I feel like that's the mentality that needs to happen here too.
Yes, because you don't know as a state when funding would, if you're a state that is at odds with the administration, you don't know if your funding is going to get stopped. Now, you know, as we talked to Josh Call yesterday, the attorney general, and a federal court stopped the administration from doing that mm-hmm. for electric vehicle charging and things. But you don't know. Do you want right. to spend your every day in court?
No, nobody wants
that.
To do that. Now, Evers actually says he's optimistic about reaching a deal in an election year on property taxes. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss also says Republicans are open to compromise and actually agreed with Governor Evers, saying that $1.3 billion is a pretty reasonable figure to get this done. So maybe there is some room for negotiation there. If approved, the plan would be one of the largest property tax relief efforts in Wisconsin history. Obviously, there will be some challenges as it gets into the legislature, but if there's already a little agreement between Voss and Evers, I feel like maybe there's some negotiating room here at this point in time.
It's Bipartisan Friday here on Civic Media Mornings. We've got the federal, we've got state, everybody's working together, kumbaya. They're happy that the weather is warming up. It's just... what a way to go into the weekend.
Well, it's early.
I'm buoyed by all this.
It's early. We'll see what the day brings us because it is really early. But it's good news if our government can, I don't know, do their jobs and work together.
Don't rain on my parade. I'm trying to grasp at joy. Don't knock it out of my hand.
Like adults, work together. It's 7:19 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And like kindergartners, just work together.
Just
you
work
learned
together.
It before.
That's right.
It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's 7:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. And if you want to get in on the conversation or just want to share your weekend plans even or how you're going to enjoy a nice balmy 20-degree day on Saturday.
Yard work, a lot of yard work tomorrow. People right. planting bulbs. Right. Is that what's going to happen?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. 1-855-752-4842. That is 1-855-75-CIVIC. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. I know in this current climate, a lot of people worried about their job, worried about layoffs, and we hear conflicting numbers. Sometimes we don't hear the job numbers because they don't meet somebody's approval. They don't want to hear the bad news. But it's slowing down. The job market is slowing mm-hmm. down. And that's just if you've been looking for a job, and I have friends who have been in their careers for years, who are looking for jobs, and it is, to say the least, tough out there. If you've been looking, let us know, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you are in the job market now, give us a real-world take on what it's like out there for people who are looking for a job, because we are in kind of a standstill, mm-hmm. according to economists, Jamie, and that's not good.
Well, I know the president likes to tout that the economy is better than it's ever been, and he likes to tell us that things have been solved and it's over, but that's not exactly what's happening, and that's not what workers are feeling. There is a lot of hiring slows, and there are layoffs that are mounting, and we're going to look at this on kind of a national level and then also look at what's happening here in Wisconsin, which is doing relatively well in comparison to the national workforce. So the economy added just 50,000 jobs last month, and a lot of the companies are pausing new openings because of inflation, tariffs, and also shifting consumer spending. A lot of major employers are also announcing significant cuts. For instance, Amazon trimming 16,000 corporate roles, UPS plans up to 30,000 reductions across the country, Dow is cutting 4,500 jobs, Tyson Foods is closing a whole Nebraska plant, which is going to result to about 3,000 layoffs. Tech and pharma companies like HP, Microsoft, Intel, and Novo Nordisk are also getting rid of thousands of jobs as they move to more automation and AI-operated procedures. Federal government layoffs under this current administration are also adding to uncertainty, leaving workers increasingly anxious about the job security and changing economy. I have a 22-year-old who graduated from college last May, still working 3 or 4 part-time jobs just to piece it all together because literally there is nothing in the full-time market for him right now. It has been absolutely crazy since he graduated.
Yeah, one of my good friends is an engineer and a project manager, and he has been looking and looking because his position was phased out at his last company. And it's like, well, you know, you hear those, like somebody with that background, you should be able to find a job pretty easy. No. And it doesn't matter what field you're in. I think if you're a nurse or a teacher, you're probably safe.
Right. Yeah.
Because
agreed.
we need both of those, and they're scarce.
Yes, you know, agreed.
Especially here in Wisconsin. We need teachers and we need nurses, especially in rural areas.
Absolutely. So. Now, when we look at it on a more micro level coming into Wisconsin, the job market here in the state actually remains fairly strong. December 2025's employment rate was right around 3%, which is well below the national rate of just over 4%. And that's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the State Department of Workforce Development. Not every sector, though, O'Brien is hiring, right? Companies across the state are also announcing layoffs and closures. Air Wisconsin Airlines is scaling back regional routes. That's going to affect right around 740 workers between Appleton and Milwaukee. There is a cheese factory in Brown County. Their plant is closing. That's going to impact about 240 jobs through this next couple of months. Kroger's Pleasant Prairie facility will close by February, cutting 200 211 positions. You've also got UW Oshkosh contracts, which are going to affect about 155 employees. You've got Northland College in Ashland that reduced it 133 jobs due to the financial restraints. And then you also have some other recent impacts, including the Superior YMCA. They did this merger in that particular area. So you've got cutbacks there.
It's fun to stay there.
Right. You've got Orbis Corporation in Menasha. You've got Sheridan Random Lake in Sheboygan County, Milwaukee Job Corps. The list is actually quite lengthy as to who's going to be doing some of these layoffs over the next few months.
Let's go to the phones because we only have a couple minutes left. Dick's in Madison, and he wants to jump in on the economy. Dick, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. Real quick, Biden and Harris, last year, actually things were cruising along quite well economically, with the exception of inflation being a little bit stubborn. Now, he could have walked in here, not messed around with tariffs, put it on cruise control, not done a lot except ride it, and then took credit for it. I wouldn't have liked that either, but I would have liked it a lot better than this.
Yeah. Makes sense, Dick. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. It is tough times. So good luck if you're out there looking for a job. I think this is where AI can help a little bit. But be careful if you use AI to write your resume and cover letter, because, oh, man, AI can go crazy. And suddenly you look like the king of industry.
Give it some parameters, maybe for just a month or so, buy that $20 version so that you can tweak it and personalize it a little
bit. And read it yourself before you send it out. You don't just go, well, the computer wrote it for me.
That's where people get into trouble, reading it yourself. Come on now.
And there's a little thing I like to call editing. I don't know what the kids call it, Parker. Redacting is what the government calls it. But I like to call it editing.
Editing.
And you can change things. And you can say, I really didn't build a skyscraper. I worked in a skyscraper. Change that word.
You got to
right
make
there.
Sure you got it all accurate. It is 7:29 right now. Details. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
No tax on tips. We'll talk about that after the news. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's 7:35 right now. We hope you are having a great Friday so far. I know it's early, but it's Friday, and we made it to the end of a work week. So that is the good news. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. If you work in the service industry, you know that over the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about income tax on tips, and people in the service industry rely on those tips for their living. Well, the Wisconsin Assembly and the Senate have moved forward with a bill eliminating state income taxes on tips and certain overtime pay that's in effect until 2028. Joining us now is Christine Hilmer. She's the president and CEO of Wisconsin Restaurant Association and Wisconsin Restaurant Association Education Foundation Board of Directors members. Christine, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So this on surface level, this sounds like a great deal for people in the service industry. Is it all it's cracked up to be, or all we perceive it to be?
Well, I can't talk about every industry, but for the restaurant industry, it is a really big deal for those that take tips. We estimate we've got about 90,000 people who are servers and bartenders who would really be able to keep some take-home pay in their pocket.
So this particular legislation, Christine, is going to allow workers to deduct up to $25,000 in tips from their state income taxes. How do you think that that's going to actually change the financial reality for a lot of service workers across Wisconsin, particularly those who are relying heavily on these tips?
Any time that you don't have to pay taxes on anything puts money in your pocket. And depending upon how much you work and how much tips you take, it becomes, of course, a bigger piece of that pie. Now, one thing we do know that these are voluntary tips. So if you have auto gratuity on your check, it does not count. Oh. And one of the misnomers is also that it's only cash tips. That includes any kind of tip. So whether you have currency that's laid on the table or you have tips that are added to your credit card bill, both count towards this. The other piece of this that you need to remember is this is a deduction on your taxes. You still have to pay taxes on it. Then, like we are now, we're getting ready to do our 2025 taxes right now, the spring of 2026. That's when you take the deduction. So it's not going to be immediate in your pocket, but it is going to make a big difference when people are doing their taxes. Now, we are waiting for the governor to sign the bill. We have had conversations with Governor Evers as well as his office. He hasn't signaled which way he's going to go, which is very, very common. But we really hope that this is going to make a big difference for a lot of people.
What's been the stumbling block that's holding it up, Christine?
Well, I think there's a concern that it doesn't hit everybody, that there's not both front of the house and back of the house. And it's just a concern we share. But if we can still give 90,000 people a tax break, we are going to fight for that. And then we'll continue to make sure that everybody gets the great compensation.
How do you think that this particular law, if signed by Governor Evers, would actually interact with some of the other pressures that the industry is feeling? I mean, there's inflation, there's rising food prices, there's minimum mm-hmm. wage changes, and I know that's always a big discussion, especially in this state. So how does this help with that or interact with it?
Well, a lot of the pressures that you're talking about are pressures on the owners that set the menu prices and so on. It's the economics of running a restaurant. This provision is towards individuals. So I think that it's going to help because it's going to give them more take-home pay. Maybe not immediately, but that's going to happen. So we roughly in the past 5 years, costs on restaurants have gone up roughly 40% across the board, whether it's your coffee or your beef or whether it's your utilities or rent. It is exceedingly expensive, and profit margins on restaurants are very, very slim. On average, pre-COVID, it was 3-4%, and those are getting squeezed. The other piece of this is you need to remember that eating out is discretionary income, for the most part. I mean, many people mm-hmm. do use restaurants as part of their meal package, but eating out is not necessarily, it's usually optional. And so as people's pocketbooks get squeezed, then people go out less. And so it becomes a real hard, a difficult way to run a restaurant. It was always difficult. It's even more so now. But what this does is this helps on the compensation for individuals, which then decreases some of that pressure on the operators to give more money to their servers and their bartenders that are taking advantage of tip credit. But it's still a very, very difficult business. And as you've seen, there's restaurants closing and so on. And my plea to everybody is please go visit your local restaurants, especially those independents that really, really need your help, especially in January. It tends to be one of the lower months for eating out.
Well, and it's also one of those things I'm wondering, Christine, because Christine Hilmer is our guest. She's the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association and Wisconsin Restaurant Association Education Foundation Board of Directors members. Since the pandemic, it's been harder and harder for restaurants to keep their staff. We've seen, you can't go to a place usually, we're a little short-staffed, or they've closed for the day because staff can't come, there's no staff. Will something like this, is it enough of an incentive now to bring more people back to the restaurant mm-hmm. service industry?
I think it is. About 2 or 3 years ago, it was extremely hard to find staff. It's still hard, and it's really hard to find qualified, skilled staff, but it is easing a little bit. It just means that owners and operators are still having to really find those great people who have that great hospitality heart, and it really, a training becomes much more important to them because they may not have been in the industry. It's also a great way for people who want a part-time job, whether it's supplementing income or whether you're a student or whether you're a mom, that this is a second income for your family. Mm-hmm. This is a great way to have a part-time income, but we also have many, many full-time folks within our industry.
Do you think a legislation like this is a precedent for other particular states? I'll get the words out yet this morning. Or do you think that there are additional tax reforms that we could be seeing in Wisconsin service sector by some with a bill like this, Christine?
I don't think we're going to see anything immediately. Time will tell, of course. And what this bill is, it mimics what's happening at the federal level. So it's not doing anything different. It's got a sunset. It's going to be from January 1, 2025. So it would apply to this year's taxes through the end of 2028. That's the other thing I wanted to point out to folks, is that we still have to have the governor sign it. Then it goes to the Department of Revenue, has to propagate the rules, and those rules have to get into the tax software. So we're going to have a time lag here. I wouldn't necessarily delay doing your taxes. You might want to wait a little bit to see how quickly they can get that through the system. But those that are going to be taking advantage of this tax treatment may have to do an amendment. We just simply don't know when the governor's going to sign. We simply don't know when we're going to get everything through the system. So that may have to happen.
You were talking about how the costs have gone up for restaurant owners, which makes sense because they've gone up for you and I when we cook at home, mm-hmm. and the margins are very slim. So when we get to the servers in the front of the house, the hospitality workers, it just seems like people are still operating under an old method of tipping. And with everything going up and the menu prices going up, which they have to for places to stay in business, do consumers need to reevaluate the percentage or how they tip, whether it's cash or whether they just do the automatic tips that are sometimes on the bill that you said are not included in this bill? What do we do to help out the servers who that's a majority of their pay is the tip? And I know as a consumer, now going out to dinner is discretionary, but when you do go, it costs a lot more. So where do we find that balance, Christine?
Well, it hasn't changed outside of consumer sentiment, meaning we have used this system of tipping for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And it's a misnomer that these staff are underpaid, because the average tipped wage is between $24 and upwards of $42 an hour. Okay. Because tips are part of their compensation. They should be declared. Now, we know that not all cash tips necessarily get counted, and that's actually not legal.
Right.
But this is part of their compensation. And so when people go out, the average tipping right now is 20 to 22%. Okay. You know, certainly it is an incentive to give great service, to do all the things that give that great hospitality that Wisconsin is famous for. And customers really appreciate that. But if we were to take away the tipping system, we are actually going to decrease the compensation for many of these valued employees. Okay. 90% of tipped workers want to keep it. They want to keep the tip system. We have seen survey after survey. We've seen movements in other areas of the country to eliminate the tip credit. And by and far, the tip workers, the people who live in this system, want it to stay. Go to a flat hourly rate is probably going to decrease their compensation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it is probably going to make them either move to a different area, work in a different area keep the tip system, or they're going to leave the hospitality world. So it's a very powerful way to do compensation. So it's not something that we advocate for. We want to keep the tip system as it stands. And if there is anything funny going on, you hear about tipped theft and so on, it's very rare.
Okay.
If it happens, those owners should be called to the carpet and they should be prosecuted. It's wage theft. Let me be very clear. But those that do it right, it's a very positive way. It's well received by those workers. It's a little bit complicated to understand it at first, but it has been a very good way to support a lot of people.
So with that being said, are you seeing a lot of support in your role from restaurants, owners, mm-hmm. service workers, and what is the feedback that you're getting at the WRA?
We're hearing widespread support for this bill. Again, it matches the federal bill. And this was something that came out of the blue, to be honest. It was a campaign promise, which came from both the Republican and the Democratic presidential camps. And so when that happened, there became this groundswell to have it happen. Now, the other thing that we need to remember is when you are a tipped employee, not everybody can be. There's only certain positions that can be. And, you know, I could speak, of course, to the bartenders and the service and so on in the industry, but there's also beauticians and others that do live in the system as well. But you also can't say, I'm a roofer, I'm going to put on a roof, and well, it's a zero for the roof, and now my tip is $25,000. That's not possible. There are guardrails in here. So if you are not currently a recognized tipped employee or a position that can take tips, you can't be added.
Perfect. Well, it's I'm glad that the front of the house people are getting this little break, hopefully, that the governor signs it. It makes sense. And make sure, like you said, Christine, go out, especially in January, if you can go out to a local restaurant, you know, chains are fine, but go to your local mom and pop restaurant, somebody in the community, because it is tough. And I know, like you said, January, everybody's looking at those credit card bills from Christmas going, maybe we don't go out.
And you've got dry January, and you've got everybody's on a diet and so on. But that doesn't mean that you can't go out and eat and support those restaurants.
Exactly.
It's really vital for all of our communities.
Support the restaurants, tip your server. There you go. Christine Hilmer, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
If you're looking for information on the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, it's wirestaurant.org. So check them out there. Christine, have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a great day. 7:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Right now, Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Hey, good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. That was music that Parker played. I don't know what kind of music it was, but I say that obvious statement because Sunday the Grammy Awards will be presented. Oh, the Grammys, the little
68th Victrola. Annual.
Unbelievable, and I've watched three. So, of course, with that being said, you see, if you're watching on the stream, our illustrious senior producer, Frank, has joined us with his requisite backwards hat, and he is ready to go. We have a game, Frank.
Usually when you join, it means you're about to embarrass us in some capacity or
well,
show that we don't have the
knowledge.
I know. I know.
I don't know if you read my contract, but it's part of my tasks and duties.
Okay. I wasn't included in that process.
Right?
You were not. Upset.
Right?
Not many people were.
No.
But anyway, yes, we do have a trivia game today because the Grammy Awards are on Sunday, which I didn't realize until yesterday because these award shows
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
This is award season. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that term. It's award season.
Which means there's nothing else going on in the world.
I love that we have to slip it in, though, between big sporting events, right?
Like that's what she said.
Yeah. It's got to come in between Super Bowl Sunday and whatever the Pro Bowl
is
now.
It's Friday, Frank, and I'm punchy.
You know what? I like it, Brian. You're fired up. All right. Ed, let's get into the game.
After the show, we'll leave up off that sentence and we'll see what happens.
We've got some questions here, just like our other trivia games.
Okay.
For those of you that haven't joined us, Jamie will be playing against Brian. Your name is your buzzer. Please wait until I'm finished asking the question to buzz in. There are some audio clues for some of these.
Ooh.
They are longer clips. You do not have to wait until the full clip
all
is
right.
done. But I will pause the song.
What's the Boy Aquarium doing during all this?
I'm working. I am putting the podcast up is what I'm doing.
Parker's working, and he can help judge if there's any discrepancies.
All right,
let's get into it.
Let's go.
Question number one, we're going to start off pretty easy.
Okay.
What network will air the Grammy Awards on Sunday?
Jamie. CBS.
It is CBS. Jamie on the board. Brian, these are the questions you have to get, because I have a feeling that Jamie's going to smoke
you. Yeah,
He knows all the...
I was going to buzz in, but then I remembered I have to wait, so I was being patient. And then I was too slow.
He knows all of, he knows the important stuff. I have all the fluff stuff like stuck in my head.
I have obscure references and pulls. I don't have music knowledge. But let's see what we got.
All right. Question number two. What is the Grammy trophy shaped like?
Jamie.
Brian. A Victrola, an old-timey record player.
Jamie, what were you going to say?
I was going to say record player.
I will give it to Brian. It is technically a gramophone.
A Grammy.
Is the answer we're looking for.
Oh, hence Grammy.
Frank,
your games are not just fun, they're informative.
They are. That's the whole point, guys. We are informing while having fun.
We just realized the point.
I like to call it edutainment.
Edutainment. Very nice.
Edutainment.
Brian, right. I'm feeling nice, and I think you need the point, so I'm going to give it to you.
I think I need the point too. That was it's shaped the same.
It is a gramophone.
RCA has the
question number three. We are tied. Brian with one, Jamie with one. This is our Grammy trivia game. This is our first audio clue. I need you to name this Grammy-winning artist, and they are nominated for Record of the Year for this song.
Okay.
Brian. Maria Camila Cabello.
That's a hard no. Jamie?
All right. Well,
do you need any more? In the back of my
mind, oh my gosh, I don't know. I know
three,
this song.
Two.
It's not Sabrina Carpenter. No, because it's a group.
It is not Sabrina Carpenter. That was Billie Eilish.
Eilish, yes.
Billie Eilish
with Wildflower.
Okay.
She's still around.
All right, yeah.
She is still around. We are still tied at one point apiece.
Okay.
Let's see how many we can get through. All right. This year, everybody's doing the 2016 trend on social media. So with that theme in play, this year marks the 10-year anniversary of which Taylor Swift album winning album of the year.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna let you finish, but Beyonce has
this is one of the songs off the album.
I follow singles, I don't get albums. Is it Red?
Is it
Brian? Red.
It is not Red.
Okay, that's the only one.
1989?
It Yay! Is 1989, wow. Jamie, with the point.
Nice.
Huge album, 1989.
All right.
Jamie with 2 points, Brian with one. We're moving along.
It's closer
this
than I
self-proclaimed
thought
it was gonna be. Midwest princess was crowned last year's Best New Artist at the Grammys.
Oh, my God. What is her name? Oh, I can do the dance.
Do the dance.
There's a dance?
Yes.
Midwest Princess.
Brian.
Who is Alice in Dairyland?
That's a good answer. Good answer.
Thank you, Parker.
Oh, I don't know her name. I don't know
it
her
is
name.
Chapel Roan.
Yes. Gosh.
Is that the Pink Pony Club?
Yes.
It is the Pink Pony Club.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I like Pink Pony Club better. That song annoyed me.
We have one more minute.
Okay.
Let's do another. Here, this one might get Brian. Which classic rock band won Album of the Year in 1978 for the Rumors album?
Jamie.
Brian, Fleetwood Mac.
Brian.
Fleetwood Mac.
It is Fleetwood Mac. We're tied at two. Here's the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Let's see if they could win. Name this nominee for Best Pop Solo Performance. Give me the artist. Useless. 30 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
Jamie, it's
20 seconds.
Is
Selena Gomez, Brian.
Come on, Jamie.
Is that Sabrina Carpenter? I don't know.
It is Sabrina Carpenter. Jamie's your winner. That's all we have time for today.
It is 7:59 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. We apparently need to brush up on our music, Brian. That's what that taught me.
Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.